Scripture lesson today is taken from two passages in the book of Genesis. The first reading is Genesis 28, Pew Bible number 42, I believe. Beginning to read at the 10th verse and reading through the remainder of that chapter. Listen. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. And taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angel of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. And I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. There is none other than the house of this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took a stone on which he had placed under his head and set it as a pillow, and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. And then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and watch over me on this journey that I am taking, and if he will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I'll return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Continuing in chapter 22, beginning to read chapter 32, we're reading verse 22. That night Jacob got up and took his two wives and his two maidservants and his 11 sons and crossed the fork of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When a man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daylight. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome. And Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask me your name? Why do you ask me my name? Then he blessed him. So Jacob called that place, called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. May the God who inspired these writings many years ago interpret them anew and afresh to us today. In the scriptures we read, if we will but confess our sins to God, he will be faithful to forgive us, and will put them as far away as the east is from the west and remember them no more. So now in the quietness of an hour, let us confess our sins. Amen. Hear the good news. God has said if we will truly confess our sins, he will put them away. Our sins have been forgiven. The scripture we read are bookends of Jacob's meeting with God. The title of the message this morning is, Have You Been Peniel? We want to look at Jacob and see what kind of a man was this Jacob that met God first at Bethel. Well, we let Scripture answer that for us. If you want to, I commend it to your reading. Verses 26 through 33 are almost exclusively devoted to Jacob and his dealing with his fellow man with God. But the man that met Jacob, the man that met God at Bethel, was not a man that I'd want to buy a used car from, I want to tell you. He was a conniving, scheming individual that had no love for his brother. He had a brother Esau, born earlier, older brother, deserving the family blessings. Scripture said that Esau was a wild man, enjoyed the outdoors and hunting, and Jacob was a man who lacked the home. Jacob was a mama's boy. Esau was a hunter, a favorite of his father. This is kind of a recipe for disaster when one child is a favorite of one parent and another one is a favorite of another parent. But Scripture said that Esau came in famished and Jacob was cooking some stew, and he traded Esau a bowl of stew for his birthright. Later on, when Isaac was getting old, his father Isaac was getting old, and it came time to bless Esau, he called Esau and said, "Esau, go out and kill a wild game for me and come in and make something that I can eat." And his mother Rebekah heard that, and she called Jacob and said, "Jacob, he's going to bless your brother. Go out and get a couple of young goats out of a flock and bring them quick, and I'll fix you some stew. And you go in and tell him you're Esau." And he said, What'll I do? Esau's hairy and I'm smooth, and he'll know the difference. Said, "Leave it to me." So he did. And he said his mother fixed him a stew, and he says, "Now take this to your dad." He took the skin of the goats and put it on his arm, and he went into Esau, and Esau, blind with age, said, "Who's there?" And he said, "It's your son Esau. Come for his blessing." He said, "Sound like Jacob to me." He said, "No, it's Esau. Feel me." So he felt his wool, and he said, "Smell my clothes," which Rebekah had to put on Esau. He said, "Well, you feel like Esau, and you smell like Esau, but you sound a lot like Jacob." But he blessed him. He gave him a family blessing, which meant that all the wealth that the father had then went to Jacob rather than to the rightful owner, was Esau. Esau found out about it, and he was livid, and he threatened to kill him. And his mother said, "Run. Go back to where my brother is, and you'll be safe there." So Jacob left. And the first night was the scripture we read here, the first scripture, that he come face to face with God for probably the first time in his life. And God made a claim on his life. But Jacob wanted to trade it away. He said, "If you do this, if you do this, if you do, if, then you can be my God." And so that was the first encounter that Jacob had with his God, even though the covenant was renewed. So then we ask ourselves, what kind of a man was it that left Bethel? We know what kind of a man that came to Bethel. What kind of a man left Bethel? Well, again, we can let Scripture answer that for us. Let's poke around in Jacob's life a little bit and see what kind of a man left Bethel. Jacob went on to his mother's brother's house, Laban, and said he got there and he saw Rachel, his first cousin. And he fell immediately head over heels in love with her for the very first time. And we first saw her and had to have her. So he made a bargain with Laban, his uncle, Rachel's mother. And he said, "If you will but give me Rachel to wed, I'll work for you for 7 years. And the scripture said it seemed not like a few days because of the love he had for Rachel. The great day came for the wedding. And guess what happened? The scripture said that Laban threw a big feast. And I think there's a lot more going on than eating. Because the scripture said that the next morning, when Jacob woke up, lo and behold, his wife wasn't Rachel, but it was the ugly sister Leah. Now, what do you think happened? I personally think old Jacob got so skunk drunk he didn't know what he was doing. And it wasn't until well into the next day when he sobered up to kind of open one eye and see where he was that he saw Leah in his tent rather than Rachel. Others have said, oh, no, 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 no. The women wore veils. He just couldn't see. I don't believe that. Almost 52 years ago, when I stood in this very sanctuary and claimed the love of my life, the Pope was over there at the time, but it was in this same place. She could have had on sackcloth and a paper bag over her head, and I would have known whether that was her by my side or not. Because that air of excitement I felt when I was in her space would not have been invented by any other woman. I would have known. And if Jacob loved Rachel as much as he said he did, I think he would have known had he been sober. I think he tied one on and got taken advantage of. But nevertheless, all is well that ends well. He said, I'll work another 7 years for Rachel. And he ended up doing it. Worked 14 years. And I did not work for my wife for 7 years. Now, I pursued her for 7 years, but I did not work for her for 7 years. But he did get his Rachel. And so then, so we can say his personal life was not as it should have been after he met God at Bethel. What about his business life? How did he treat his fellow man in business? Well, again, we can go to Scripture to find that out. Laban said, Jacob, you're a good worker. It's not fair that you don't earn wages. What? Let's make a deal. And Jacob both said, okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. You know, I'm a good herdsman. I've been looking after your stuff for 14 years, and you can see what's happened to them. Laban said, that's right. He said, I'll make a deal with you. Every calf and every lamb and every goat and every camel, everything, if it comes speckled and off-colored, it'll belong to me. If it's normal colored, it's yours. And Jacob said, sounds fair to me. So this was a deal. And the Scripture said that Jacob went down where the watering holes and carved white the bark off a tree so it looked spotted. And when they mated, the calves were spotted. Well, I'm not sure if that's what happened because I believe genetics. Like begets like. And I don't think this law was set aside for Jacob. I think Jacob knew what he was doing. I think Jacob practiced selective breeding. Jacob knew the cattle that would bring forth spotted cattle. And he made sure those are the ones that were with the herd. And this went on for a number of years. And suddenly Laban went out to check on his cattle and found out, lo and behold, he didn't have many left. Jacob had about stolen all he had. And his brothers said, which was at this time his sons, which was this time Jacob's brothers-in-law, said, this man has stolen from us. He's taken all of Daddy's possessions and there's nothing left for us. And so again, he threatened to kill him. So Jacob again fled. And this time, something else happened. That points a little thing of what kind of man Jacob was when he left Bethel. Because the Scripture said that when we started to leave, that Rachel stole her daddy's gods. I assume they were little hand-carved statues or something, but stole her daddy's gods. They must have been her gods as well. So we can say then that his home life is not what it should have been. Jacob may not have worshipped those things himself, but he allowed his wife to do them. So he was not the man he should have been at home because he allowed his wife to worship foreign gods. So Jacob left again, fleeing for his life. Then we come to the second scripture we read. He met God again. This time, he met God at Peniel. By himself, all-night adventure, he wrestled with God. The results, I think, were quite different than it was the first time that he met God at Bethel. Because the Scripture said that when he left, he was limping because the man had been changed. Not only was his name changed, God said, no longer will you be called Jacob. You will be called Israel. Therefore, that's where the Israelites come from that we know so much about in the Old Testament. But also, he limped when he walked. He was a changed person. He was a changed man, not without fault. Again, he showed partiality to two of his sons, Joseph and the young son, his younger son as well, which is a recipe for disaster in a family. But he was a different man when he left Bethel, than he left Peniel, than he was when he left Bethel. So my question to you is, have you been to Peniel? Now, I don't mean the physical place. We don't know where that is. But I mean that place when you meet God and you wrestle with God and you come to an understanding of who God is and who you are. Have you been to Peniel? Tim Watson tells us that his Peniel happened at a Promise Keepers convention. He was in an outfield of a football field, and God spoke to him, and he said, I fell to my knees and said, here I am. Do with me as you will. A man in this church on a mission trip had his Peniel on the Gulf of Mexico. He said, as I stood there by myself, looking out across the peaceful Gulf of Mexico, with fresh in my mind the destruction that God had rained on these people, remembering my blessings back home, I promised my God then and there that I, from this day forward, will be a different person than I've been up till now, because I understand your love for me and your blessings you've poured out upon me. He said his life has never been the same, and it never will be. Every public speaking class I've ever taken, every seminar I've ever attended, every book I've ever read, said never use yourself as an example. Just don't do it. Well, I'm going to throw caution to the wind. I'm among friends. And I'm going to tell you about my trip to Peniel. I grew up in Concord Presbyterian Church on Highway 90 and did all the things as a teenager. Joined the church probably at 12 or 13 years old. And as long as I was at home in high school, the church doors seldom opened. I wasn't there. I went to college and began to drift away. I said that one thing, a reason I drifted away back then, we went to school back then. For the first 2 years when I was at NC State, I had an 8 o'clock class 6 mornings a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when that Sunday came and I didn't have to get up to go to an 8 o'clock class, I stayed in the bed. I didn't go to church or anywhere else. I stayed in the bed. I continued to drift when I went to a service that the drifting picked up. And I confess to you, I'm not proud of it, but I confess to you that you could not have told my actions from a person who had never heard of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heard a key story on the internet. Told it in my Sunday school class last Sunday. I'll tell it to you. It illustrates the point. Said this lady was in a hurry and she was going on a three-lane street and going to town, and she was behind this car, and the driver ahead thought he was about ready for the turns. He started slowing down and the caution came on. He stopped and two or three cars on both lanes went on through. Some of you on the red. And so she leaned out the window and laid a cussing on him that would blush a lot of sailors. And so while she was waiting the lights to change, somebody tapped on the window. And it was a policeman. So he asked her to step out of a car. So he put her in handcuffs and arrested her and took her down to the police station. And the lawyer came and said, I demand to know, why did you arrest my client? He said, I was following on one side of a bumper sticker said, I love Jesus. And on the other side said, follow me to Sunday school. So I assumed she'd stolen the car. My friends, churches of this land today are filled with people who have been to Bethel and not Peniel. And I hope not this church. But it's been 52 years ago last month. It was in May. I found myself in Jerusalem. And I remember one night, like it was yesterday, we were sitting around the lobby of a big hotel and the fire in the fireplace to take the chill off of the early spring evening. And Captain Huber, a chaplain friend of mine from Texas, he said, "We're going out to the Garden Tomb. Would you like to ride along?" And I said, "Sure, why not?" So four of us went out to the Garden Tomb, that place at the foot of Golgotha, where my Lord lay for 3 days. And we got there, and I looked, and the three of them knelt down. Not wanting to be different, I too knelt down in the dust in front of that Garden Tomb. And I heard a voice as plain as any voice I've ever heard. It said, "It's empty for you." I thought one of the guys must have said it, but they were not. They were over here, and the voice came from this way. It seemed that the dogs barking, everything hushed for a minute. "It's empty for you." I rode back to the hotel in stunned silence. Spent a restless night trying to... What happened? And I finally came to realize, for I think for the first time, who this God that I'd committed my life to when I was 13 years old. And I'd gone my way as Jacob had gone his way. And I realized that who this God was. And the blessings that He had done for me to send His Son to die on Calvary's cross, that I would not have to go. I would not have to pay that price. And I promised my God then and there that for the remainder of the life He gave me to live, I'd do my best to have a closer walk with Him. Now, I have not always done that. I have failed. But God in His grace and His mercy has been faithful to forgive me. So my question to you is, have you been to Peniel? Have you been to Peniel? Not that physical place, but that place where you come to realize and understand probably the first time who this God is that has created you. Who this God is that sent His Son to die on Calvary's cross for you. Who this God is that has a claim on your life because He has paid the price and He has bought it. If you have not been to Peniel, I recommend the trip. Your life will never be the same. May we pray. Gracious God, thank You for this story from the book of Genesis. It illustrates so well what so many of us have experienced and what so many of us need to experience. To meet You somewhere. To realize who You are and who we are. You are the God of creator, the God of holiness. And we are a sinful person. So may we be brought face to face to the God. And may in our struggles, may we come to realize who You are and who we are. Amen.